to the final case this morning, U.S. versus Laguna. Mr. McLaughlin.
May it please the court. And at the outset, Your Honors, I have to admit that my high school baseball career provided me more preparation than I care to remember at batting last. So I'm very comfortable in this position. This appeal,
You're not the only one in the room.
I'm glad to hear that. This appeal, Your Honors, boiled down to its essence, is about a straightforward issue. Mr. Laguna had a defense, and he wasn't allowed to argue it to the jury at trial. And that defense was that Mr. Laguna lacked the requisite intent to violate the statute that he was charged with violating, and that defense was further based on reasonable inferences from the evidence that had been admitted during trial. There's been a lot of ink spilled in the briefs about what exactly this defense was. Was it and different labels have been applied to it, whether you call it a lack of intent defense or a failure of proof defense or a good faith defense. The label is ultimately unimportant. The idea is that Mr. Laguna lacked the necessary intent to prevent or hamper his removal from the United States, and that's what the statute calls for. Because we feel we were entitled to present that defense and to really challenge that the government had met its burden of proof at trial, in being denied that defense, the district court erred, and as a result, we're asking that Mr. Laguna's conviction be vacated.
Well, if I understand that defense, it in essence amounted to saying, for 8 years they've been telling me to go to get my Polish passport, and nobody's ever actually brought the hammer down on me yet. But the charge is only for the short period, was it April 21 to April 29th, when the ICE officer says, in effect, now's the time. And he's given three opportunities to cooperate, to go pick up his passport, and refuses.
Those are the facts, Your Honor, yes.
Okay. So why is the 8 years of history relevant when ICE finally says, now's the time?
They're relevant to the defense, Judge, in the sense that he needs to believe at that time, in the charge time period, that he's really acting to hamper his removal. And his course of dealing with ICE over those preceding 5+ years since his release from custody, a lot of these dealings took place on this exact issue. And so the defense sought to argue that course of dealing was relevant to his state of mind during the charge time period. So in other words, Your Honor is absolutely right that he was brought in, he was told on three occasions during the charge time period, you got to go get your passport for real. But he had been told multiple times over the preceding 5.5 years, you got to get your passport. And then when he didn't, his conditions were liberalized. So the argument is more that his state of mind was impacted by that course of dealing, and the jury had a right, since it had heard the evidence about that course of dealing over the years, the defense had the right to argue the inferences from that course of dealing and argue that those impacted his intent during the charge time period.
Could I ask, where is the defendant now?
Mr. Laguna is home with his family. I can give you the chronology of how he got there.
What I'm concerned about is whether he has finished this sentence, whether this is now moot, and whether we're now facing a repetition of this whole exercise again.
With regard to mootness, Your Honor, I think he suffers collateral consequences from the conviction, so I don't think it's moot.
He has finished the custody?
He has finished the custodial portion.
Done with supervised release?
He's done with supervised release, Your Honor.
So why isn't it moot?
It's not moot because I think he has collateral consequences going forward. He has a federal felony conviction on his record, which I think those consequences in themselves make the dispute ripe for, it's a conviction, it's on his record, and it's an improper conviction from our standpoint. I think the fact that he's no longer in custody it really doesn't affect the fact that he's suffering under those consequences. He's not in custody anymore, but...
Was he going to go to the embassy and get a passport?
Your Honor, I honestly cannot answer that question. I don't represent him.
No, I know, but that's... He's on supervised release, I imagine. Once he's sufficiently supervised where they can escort him over there.
If ICE seeks to take him over there, that's the facts of this case are very unusual in that Mr. Laguna is required to assist ICE in getting this passport, so it puts it in a strange factual context in that he can't just be put on a plane and pushed out of the country. He actually needs to affirmatively help ICE. And if ICE seeks to take him over there again...
On a beach?
It could start all over again, well, to your Honor's point.
They compared, they didn't, but then it was like Groundhog Day, It just keep running it through.
It absolutely could go on into perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway.
And he can continue to defend himself by saying that the government just never followed through enough.
Well,
I never took him seriously.
That's actually a really good analogy for what the defense I would have liked to have argued in the court below is the boy who cried wolf. With respect to future prosecutions and future defenses, I don't think it would be appropriate for me to comment on whether he could or he couldn't in the event that he's prosecuted again. But the boy who cried wolf, to your point, Your Honor, it really is a fair analogy in that, the boy who cried wolf, but at the end, he's not believed anymore, and he's not believed because he's never found to have been truthful about his warnings, and that's really what happened with ICE here, is they told him time and again.
It's a little unusual that we hear an argument that ICE is too kind-hearted.
Well,
that's what this sounds like.
Well, it's I don't know that I would take it that far, Judge. I think the argument is that ICE, in essentially liberalizing the conditions of Mr. Laguna's release over the years, while he had this requirement in place for that entire time period, what they did was they caused a good faith belief in Mr. Laguna's mind that they didn't really have any intent to remove him from the country. And so if he just did the same things over and over, he would find himself in the same place, which was with permission to work, despite the fact that he had no legal status in the country, at home, and frankly doing very well. I did just want to briefly touch on one additional issue, and I think the reason for some of the confusion in the record below is the unique facts in this case, but I think it also comes from the government's strident objections as to relevance, and they continue to say that this time period preceding the 8-day charge time period was not relevant. And I think that from a common sense perspective, it's hard to accept the notion that 5 years of interaction with ICE, 5 years of interaction in part regarding this passport requirement, had nothing to do with the charge in this case. I think just from a common sense perspective, that's difficult to handle. And then I think from a legal perspective, the scope of relevance is extremely broad, as this court well knows and knows better than I do. And I think an argument that this wasn't relevant to his state of mind during the charge time period is pretty difficult to swallow. So with that, I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal unless Your Honors have any questions at this point. Thank you.
Mr. Bendy, we see you often, but don't often hear from you.
You might not hear much from me today, Your Honor. It's unusual for me to begin by saying good afternoon, and may it please the court. Mm. ICE needed his cooperation in order to effectuate the removal order. He had to go and get his Polish passport. Nobody else could do it for him.
Is that unusual? Is Poland unusual in saying they got to show up and ask for a passport, and otherwise they can't come back?
I couldn't say whether or not that's unusual, Your Honor. Certainly I have never seen a case like this before where a defendant could effectively prevent his removal by simply failing to get travel papers. it's not something that's come across my experience before. But certainly during the time period of the charge in the indictment, that period in April 2010. He certainly knew then that his refusal to go and get the passport was impeding his removal, and that now ICE was going to do something about it. They did revoke his supervision. The argument in closing, to which an objection was sustained, and this is at page 56 of the separate appendix, was they could have revoked his supervision at any time. And the implication there being that because they didn't, he was entitled to believe that his refusal to act was not the thing that was impeding his removal. Rather, it was ICE's refusal to incarcerate him that was impeding his removal. Well, he was incarcerated in April of 2010. They revoked his supervision, and he was criminally charged, and he still refused. So, Your Honors, I think that the district court was correct, that the elements of the offense were proven, that the proposed defense was an improper defense, and that it was leaning towards jury nullification. And for that reason, the district court disallowed the argument. And so for these reasons, we respectfully request that the court affirm the judgment.
Do you agree that the case is not moot?
I was aware that he had been released from custody. I'm learning for the first time this morning that he's also completed supervised release.
Are there outstanding financial obligations?
Not that I am aware of.
Okay. Are we going to go through this whole thing all over again?
That I couldn't say. Whether or not his continued defiance is going to draw another indictment, I can't speak to that, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
Well, that's basically up to ICE now. They either say, all right, now here we go again.
Well,
only this time we really, really mean it.
You know, if what the defendant thinks it is necessary for him to take seriously the removal order is for ICE to violate his supervision, because he's still on supervision with them, to violate that and take him into custody and leave him there for as long as it takes.
Like a contempt imprisonment?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Very briefly, Your Honors, I wanted to address a few points. A moment ago, the government read from the transcript of the closing argument where an objection was sustained to when I said something along the lines of they could have revoked his supervision at any time. And in explaining why I really had the benefit of an argument there, the government said something interesting, which is they said the implication was. And the problem in this case is that it was all implication, and Mr. Laguna was precluded from putting forth an argument that was based on the evidence. And the reason I framed this up as a constitutional issue for the court is that really it's a Sixth Amendment issue in the sense that defendants have a right to really participate fully in a trial and illuminate the evidence in the way that they can best illuminate it to support their defense. As long as that defense is somehow based on the evidence and it's not something completely out of left field, they have a right to do that. Defendants have that right. And that's what we were denied in this case. Very, very briefly, one additional point I wanted to make was, the district court in its memorandum opinion on the post-trial motions and the government in its brief here made a distinction between Mr. Laguna's expectations and Mr. Laguna's knowledge. And with respect, I think that's semantics, and I think it's a distinction without a real difference. And what the district court said and what the government says is Mr. Laguna didn't expect to be removed from the country, and that's not the same thing. That doesn't negate his intent. And I would just put forth to the court that in this case, if he really didn't expect that he was going to be removed, he cannot have been found to have interfered with that removal. And with that, Your Honors, I would just ask that you reverse Mr. Laguna's conviction and send this matter back to the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess.